We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
The expression soul food originated in the mid-1960s when soul was a common word used to describe African-American culture, and at its core, soul food is down-home cooking that's been passed down through many generations with its roots in the rural South. Some of the soul food staples include collard greens, black-eyed peas, sweet potatoes, corn, peaches, and cornbread. I am making myself hungry right now at this lunch hour. And these were staple food items because traditionally they were cheap leftover foods given to enslaved people. Meat was expensive, therefore a limited item, so despite popular beliefs and stereotypes, many Black Americans were and are more likely to be vegan and vegetarian. Which brings me to our next guest, Chef Marilyn Christian of Delightfully Vegan, which is a soul food vegan business and catering service. Hello, Chef Christian.
Hello.
Glad to have you here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So everybody, every chef, every cook, every pretender like myself, we have this origin story, mm-hmm, of how we began cooking, how we got our acumen in the kitchen,
right,
so to speak. So whether it's you learned from your mom and helping her sisters in the kitchen, or being forced to cook by the church, or if you spend a lot of time with grandma,
right,
you know,
right.
What is your culinary origin story?
Okay, so I would say Nana. She, when I was little, I used to sit in the kitchen with her. She had a garden in her behind her kitchen. I'm sorry, and she tilled that ground, and she just made that a staple in her life.
Wow.
That she always would tend to that garden. She would prepare. She did her flowers, and I remember she used to work with a lot of greenery, obviously. And she would just have me in the kitchen plucking greens.
Mm-hmm.
Plucking green beans.
Yeah.
And de-ribbing greens.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would watch her, you know, all throughout the kitchen, just doing what she does. I mean, she just loves to feed people. And so, not at that age, obviously, but just watching her, and as I got older, started to love cooking. And then I had a family at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
I have three children, and so I had to learn to quickly learn to cook for them.
Mm-hmm.
As they, you know, obviously need to eat. But I just started to cook for them, and then I, after a while, I learned that I really enjoyed it.
Mm.
And I really enjoyed plating. Like, I would take time plating the food,
mm-hmm,
even for my kids, and I'm like, you know, who cares how you put the food on a plate? Like, you just put the food on a plate and you feed people.
Mm-hmm.
But I started to care how it looked,
yeah,
and how the table was set and just different things like that. So, obviously, you know, fed my kids throughout the years, and then got older, and fast forward to about 6 years ago, I went on a 40-day fast with my church.
Mm.
And it was a Daniel fast. And we obviously completely eliminated meat.
Mm-hmm.
We had a food bank that was an extension to the church. And so we were able to get like fresh fruits and vegetables, rice and different things like that that you could have on the Daniel fast. And so I had to get creative,
mm-hmm,
because obviously I was used to eating meat,
yeah,
my whole entire life. So I had to get creative with the little bit of food that I had from the food bank, because we all know you go to the food bank, you don't get a whole lot of options,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So I learned to get creative with what I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned to live off of the basics.
Mm.
And it really, really helped me to understand you don't need a whole lot of food that we think that we need. You know, we overindulge and. Mm. And so I lived off of minimal food, but I got creative with the dishes, and it just became a passion for me. And I feel like once I cleansed myself, you know, because you go on a fast, you it's a spiritual cleanse, it's a physical cleanse. Mm-hmm. My mental clarity, I just had this amazing mental clarity, and I feel like it opened me up to learn and want to be more creative with what I was doing. Mm. So my passion it heightened like 1,000%.
so
here
then,
we are.
Yeah. So then what was it that made you say that you? You should start this as a business because I think about myself, you know, I think I can burn a little bit,
right?
You know, but I'm like, I don't know if I have the skills or capability to make a business out of it.
Right.
You know, I can please my kids,
right,
my wife,
right.
You know,
the
extended family, mm-hmm. and everything like that, you know, but selling it is a completely different thing.
So
for yourself, what was it that made you say, you know what, I can turn this into a business?
First of all, God.
Oh, all right.
And I would say you can't sleep at night.
Mm.
I feel like when there's something that keeps you up at night, it's something that you think about when you first wake up in the morning. It's something that you think about when you go to bed at night. It becomes your passion. Mm. And so when I realized, okay, I can't get this out of my head. And I started getting, and of course, like I said, God, I started getting these ideas. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm praying and I'm like, Lord, you know, what's my next direction? What should I do? And I got my notebook and a pen and I just started writing down all these ideas. All of these things started coming to me, like events, mm-hmm. a name for events and all types of stuff. I'm like, where is this stuff? That's why I said God, because I'm like, where is this stuff coming from? This is not me. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? This is not something that I would have naturally thought about.
Yeah.
So because I was so passionate about and still am so passionate about it, also the health benefits.
Mm.
The health benefits really changed my life. And with that, I want to help others.
Now,
I really want to help others.
Now, you brought up the health aspect, which is very true. You can't deny, you know, the health benefits of being a vegan,
yes.
veganism. But tying that in with soul food now,
right.
has there been any pushback? Like, you can't make soul food, vegan food.
Oh yeah. I get it all the time.
All the time.
Oh yeah. And I have to prove people wrong. I'm like, well, you need to come to this event and then taste this, and I guarantee you won't miss anything.
Mm.
I'm actually my grandson's nurse. She's from Nigeria.
Oh wow.
And she's like, she is so amazed. She's like, I don't understand. How can you cook without meat? Because she's like, our culture is meat.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been slowly introducing different meals to her that are meatless, obviously. And she's amazed. And I think that's all it really boils down to,
yeah.
is not really necessarily proving people wrong, but just introducing it to them and saying, hey, it still tastes good. It's all in the seasonings.
Yeah.
It's all in the seasonings. You could take anything and make it taste good.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, the soul food part of it is what we relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, with being vegan and being vegetarian, you basically just have to intertwine those two.
Mm-hmm. I have a cousin that snuck some vegan baked macaroni and cheese.
Yes.
And it it was a hit.
Right.
And she did not let anybody know
that it was vegan.
Right.
I love that.
And uh-huh. and it was like, oh man. All right. So what you bringing next year?
Right.
You know,
if you can keep macaroni and cheese,
mm-hmm.
you're in there.
And she said the same thing. She said the same thing. So so how do you infuse traditional soul food flavors into your vegan dishes then?
So basically, I did a lot of research,
mm-hmm.
on, what cheese tastes like Gouda cheese, or what cheese tastes like sharp cheese. You know what I mean?
You
have to do your research, because obviously we're not getting our sources from the cow for
mm-hmm.
for the dairy, for the milk, the cheeses and different things like that. So you have to research to figure out what tastes emulate another.
Okay.
Like pulled pork. What texture can we get pulled pork in a vegan way?
Mm.
Jackfruit.
Oh.
Okay. What texture can we get fried chicken? mushrooms, right? So there's different things, and it's all just in research and test and trial.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then this just isn't simply substituting meat for some kind of vegetable. Like, this isn't saying, oh, okay, well, you know what? I don't want fried chicken, so I'm just going to fry my cauliflower. Like, it's not a simple replacing item then. It's kind of finding similar textures.
Yes.
Can you
yes.
go into some more detail? Because that is
interesting.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. So that research process,
right.
You know, do you have like these items out in front of you, and then you're like, oh, well, this mushroom has, or is it more than that?
It is. You do your research, but then again, like I said, it's test and trial. Like, I've been at this for 6 years, so I've actually, there's some things that I've made and I hated it. I didn't like it. But you have to go out and try, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like I said before, with the mental, we are so used to and accustomed to eating a certain way that it takes just as amount of years that it took for you to develop these habits. You have to take the basically the rest of your life and undo those habits.
Wow.
And unlearn a lot of things. So until you get to that point, it's best to take what you love and just transform it to a healthier version, which is obviously meatless or plant-based. But yeah, you just... textures of chicken, textures of hamburger, all the things that we love to eat, we associate it with texture. We associate, like with chicken, you know, you want it crispy, right?
Yeah.
So we associate that with texture. So, okay, how can I make mushrooms crispy? How can I make, you know, jackfruit taste like pulled pork?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you take those things, and again, seasoning is everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything.
That pulled pork jackfruit. I had a friend that made grilled version of that.
Wow.
And took me by surprise, and I was like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, I'm coming back.
You would be amazed. The only thing that's missing is bones.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, I'm not going to say you can't, because there are some, there's some companies out there that sell fake bones.
Really?
You know, I personally wouldn't get into it because I'm like, if I can't, it just doesn't make sense. But there's some people that, you know, need that mental stimulation to say, okay, there's a bone in this, so I can eat it. You know what I mean? So, but yeah.
Fake bones. Oh, man.
Yeah, there's fake bones out there.
I did not have that. I mean, couldn't they just use a real bone? Because it's, you know, not...
No.
Oh, wow.
No, not a real bone, because then they have the hormones and different things.
Oh.
Like that's why, like, when you have soups, we want to use vegetable broth instead of chicken broth or instead of beef broth, because, again, whatever is in the meat is going to be in that broth. It's going to be.
Oh,
greens,
man.
Like, you can't say, well, I'm going to put neck bone in the greens and eat it and call it vegetarian. No, because whatever's coming out of that bone is getting into the greens, even though you're not actually eating it.
Oh man, you are learning me something today. I love it. So before we go to our first break here, we're going to talk more about your business on the other side of the break, but can you tell us first some of your most favorite soul food vegan dishes to prepare?
So my go-to, and this is what people inbox me for all the time. They call me for all the time. When are you making it again? So I call it the vegan soul food platter, the works. It's vegan ribs, vegan mac and cheese, vegan greens, vegan sweet potatoes, and cornbread.
Ah.
Yes. That's my go-to. And then the other one would be obviously the fried chicken, and you would put the sides in with that as well, but just replace the vegan ribs with the mushrooms with the vegan fried chicken, quote unquote.
So, for you, chef, how do you balance authenticity with innovation in your vegan soul food creations?
So I would say anything that you do in life, you have to be true to you. Back in the day, we had to conform to a lot of, you know, certain ways and certain ways of doing things. And I feel like even with COVID, like, people have gotten, they've op- we've been shut in, but we've also opened up to us. You know what I mean? And so you learn to just be yourself authentic, just be yourself. Mm. And that gets you farther in life, I believe, than conforming to anything. And you stay in your lane, and you just be true to you. You know what I mean? With the way the world and the way the things are going, and again, like I said, with the research, we're trending closer and closer to veganism.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to keep up with the new ways of eating and the new ways of creating dishes and things like that. I believe that it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you stay true to yourself, but you also learn and understand that things are going to constantly keep leveling up. Things are going to constantly be changing, but you just keep yourself in a stable place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, before we went to our break, you talked spices.
Yes.
And you said that, you know, it's all about how you spread your spices around,
yeah,
you know, how you season
that thing.
So are there any cultural influences inspire your cuisine?
Honestly, no.
Mm.
Not really. If I could line up all of my seasonings and spices, someone from a cultural background could say, oh, well, this leans more towards this, or this mm-hmm. leans more... But I don't follow a specific culture.
Mm.
I follow taste.
Okay.
Or maybe even what I've grown up on, certain seasonings that mm-hmm. I use, I actually grew up on, but I can't necessarily tie it to a culture but us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm not against, because I love Spanish food. I love, I've tried, Mexican food,
mm-hmm.
and I've yet to try African food. Like I said, my grandson's nurse says she's going to be giving us some dishes
mm-hmm.
that I'm really, really interested in trying. But I can't specifically say a certain culture. I just try, I've experienced with tastes
mm-hmm.
and different flavors. So
now, talking about taste, there has been many chefs and cooks that they actually cook through taste. They cook through the smell,
right?
You know, so for yourself, how do you cook? Are you somebody that cuts a little piece aside and then, you know, all right, well, let me taste it and needs this and needs that, or do you smell what you need, or do you let the ancestors use you?
Come on, sir. These questions are awesome.
Thank you.
I cook in layers.
Okay. Oh.
Yes. And I tell, this is my secret.
Mm-hmm.
I believe even, I don't know how well it works in the regular, with regular cooking, but with being vegan and plant-based, because you don't cook everything fully, like we don't cook our hamburger as long as you would cook a regular hamburger.
Mm.
So I believe in cooking in layers, because you separate, you pull the dish apart, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you may pull it apart in three or four parts. You have your base, right? Then you have your next layer, then you have your final layer, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I pull it apart and I cook everything separately.
Okay.
It may take just a little bit longer, but I feel like if you master the flavor of that first level,
mm-hmm.
if you master the flavor of that second level, you master the flavor of that third level, you got a masterpiece, sir.
Oh, so you mentioned something that I didn't even think about. Cooking times,
mm-hmm.
you know, so with how you traditionally cooked growing up, you know, versus now with cooking more vegan meals, the cooking times are different,
right?
Because they're obviously different products.
Yes.
So
yes.
How did you adjust to that cooking time? Because I'm flabbergasted over here, like, oh my gosh, you know, 350 degrees don't mean 350,
right?
You know,
burning a few things.
Yeah,
you had to burn a few things.
Really? So it's just like this trial
yeah.
and error.
Wow. Yeah, it is trial. I mean, you should follow directions
mm-hmm.
on a box or on a package.
Oh,
but
who does that?
Yeah. So, but I mean, they do a good job of telling you, hey, don't cook it for this amount of time. There's
mm-hmm.
YouTube videos. There's all types of information out there to tell you. But again, I'm a trial and error person, because
yeah.
I feel like I can't tell you a story. I can't explain anything better to you unless I actually did it.
So. Your business, Delightfully Vegan.
Yes.
Am I saying that right?
Yes.
How did you get into starting that? And mm-hmm. for the folks that are listening now, How could they get in contact with you to try it out?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, while I was on my 40-day fast and new life journey, I said I want to help. I felt amazing, and I wanted everyone else to feel amazing. I wanted everyone else to experience what I experienced. So it made me want to just venture out and help the world, basically, as much as I possibly could. So I came up with Delightfully Vegan. And I don't want to call it just a restaurant. I want to call it an organization, a movement, because, again, I'm trying to change as many people's mind and perspective on how plant-based food can be really, really healthy for you and also taste amazing. So right now, again, we cater. We do vending. One day we will be brick and mortar, but I feel like we're bigger than that right now. So that's why it's okay that we're traveling and going to different places and catering. And if anyone is interested in trying out our food, please contact me at delightfullyvegan@gmail.com. I am on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. And you can also reach out to me at 717-963-4730.
And before we head on out, what's next for yourself?
So right now I have, what do you mean as far as like events?
Or, mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have Earth Day coming up April 21st.
Oh, nice.
And that's going to be at the Bridge in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So that's our next event. Well, we do have some catering jobs the whole month of March. But as far as an outside event, will be Earth Day.